Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN Plus. You can watch us. Come look at us each and every day. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and two-time WNBA All-Star Jhené Egbuemeke with you guys here. Excited about coming up this hour. We got NCAA winners and losers from the tournament this past weekend. We're down to the Elite Eight right now. And Jhené, I have been amazed. For all we have talked about hairstyles and facial hair on this show, we have had one glaring omission that is still dancing right now that we have got to celebrate.
I cannot wait to hear who that is, because I know it's not you.
No, I can say thankfully we do, though. As long as it's involving hairstyles, it is not involving me in this spot. We'll also hear from a very angry Taylor Twellman as we stare down.
I thought you were going to go Swift.
No, not on this one. We are not poking the Swifties at all here. Proud card-carrying member. No, our Taylor is a Twellman, and he is a very angry man at the U.S. men's soccer program, the men's national team, with what's gone on, what's become an all-too-familiar refrain with them. And we'll get to that, but Jhené, unfortunately, an all-too-familiar refrain happened over the weekend. NBA star Draymond Green was out on Twitter this weekend. It was during the UConn-Iowa game that we had talked about last week. We were so excited about, was on ABC. UConn ends up running away with that one off some dominant performances. But towards the end of that game, Draymond Green, the Warriors star, takes to Twitter and goes on a long, long Twitter thread talking about women's sports, talking about creating greater exposure for women's sports, using that to eventually create more revenue and eventually pay more for athletes. He went through a long list of these, also encouraging women to take charge and ensuring that their stories are told, while explaining why he's turned down opportunities to raise awareness. He said, you know, I've been asked to do PSAs this month on women empowerment. I've said, no, it's hypocritical, because these same companies are telling women empowerment, but they're not putting their money where their mouth is. He basically said more women, more of the female athletes need to call on these companies to actually support the cause with dollars here. Now, Jhené, I was texting you as soon as I saw this, and I'm sure you, like many of the other women that I saw on my timeline, like many of the other WNBA players I saw on my timeline, had to be immensely frustrated reading these proposed solutions that make it sound awfully easy.
Yeah, give me a beat. Let's do this in one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
So, I'm tired, boss. I'm so tired, boss. And when I saw Draymond Green put out this thread, which he tried to make it a thread, but was like, I need to learn how to do this. I know Draymond very well. I've known him since I was in college. We both played on the World University Games team, and that's where we became friends. One thing I respect about him is that he genuinely has his heart in the right place. He is honest, and he believes in conversation and dialogue to be able to move things forward. Now, the problem here was that a lot of the issues that he was addressing when it comes to the women's game, as we're watching in March Madness, and women's sports overall, is just sort of highlighting the lack of awareness that people have to the efforts that women have been putting forth. I always say this, it's the notion of being hidden in plain sight. We are out here doing great jobs, whether it is in sports or any field, but as it pertains to basketball, we're out here doing great jobs, and we're the best at what we do when it comes to the WNBA, or the best, you know, top tier athletes in March Madness. And it continually gets challenged in a way that is not productive. What was not productive about what Draymond Green said, first of all, he made the distinction for y'all. It's not y'all. If you are actually trying to help us, you realize that leverage your platform to empower us. And that's the opposite of what he did by saying, I don't talk on women's empowerment because this is not what the notion should be. Well, why don't you use your platform to shine a light that is so needed for visibility for our game to grow? Why don't we use your platform on your time, on your dime, to sort of do that if you're so committed to it? And so there's a lot of different levels of misunderstanding that people think, oh, all you guys do is talk about WNBA, WNBA players talk about NBA money. No, we don't. That's just the common refrain for people people who have not educated themselves to what we are actually doing. Of course we step to businesses. Of course we step to brands and want our stories to be told. But until we have equity in those rooms that make it a priority, we will continue to be drowned out just because we don't have the strength in numbers yet. But the difference here is that, and this is where I'll say, Junior, the solidarity has changed that. You can't, if you need one of us, you can't kick all of us out because we're all standing and riding for that one who's in the room. There's a lot of women that have realized we cannot be ignored, like the WNBA, like the U.S. Women's National Team, like what the NWHL is doing. Every league is banding together as women because we've realized if we're that one person in the room, they can drown us out. But if we all raise our voices, you need us, and that's what's going to change the paradigm. What will additionally help are men and allies that use their platforms or even in the smallest ways sort of have conversations where you let the woman speak or you say that that perspective is important or that story should be told. You help us out then because normally people are not conditioned to understand what our stories are, what our goals are. It just is, unfortunately, being in a male-dominated industry or, you know, being in sports where that sort of leads because we're constantly compared. Instead, let's reset the system where we see our value is on the same level. We do our best at our jobs, whether it is playing in March Madness or in the WNBA or just period, jobs period, that we deserve that same credibility and intention to. So like, Junior, I can go on forever about this.
No, and
but that's just where I stand.
I understand that completely, Janae, because it's something that you have been living in all these ways. And I think that was the frustrating part because Draymond's intention seemed to be wanting to help and wanting to figure out ways. But the thing he neglected was assuming that these things hadn't already been tried over and over, that women like you and your colleagues in the WNBA or Megan Rapinoe and the U.S. Women's National Team hadn't already been going into these rooms and looking for things. I thought Maria Taylor, who's obviously a great host and sideline reporter for us here at ESPN, said, let's be careful to not place the responsibility to fix the problem of patriarchal society's apathetic view of women in sports on women, just like we wouldn't charge people of color with fixing issues associated to racism. I appreciate watching and searching for solutions, but I think the point Maria makes there is that it's going to take a lot more than that. And you mentioned the story part, I think, is interesting. When we look at and when we're getting ready to talk about something like the U.S. men's national team and them not making or qualifying for the Olympics again, they have lost out on a big opportunity to tell the stories of the players on that team. We don't know the men's national team. We know the women's national team because every time one of those big tournaments comes around, we get a chance to hear and see their stories told on a big stage. They grab the microphone in a big time way. And so now they're characters that everybody knows in here. And I hear people all the time. I was watching the NCAA women's tournament this weekend, and someone said, I love when Holly Rowe is on these games because I feel like when I leave the broadcast, I know the players on the court here because Holly is telling those stories. And so what you brought up, I think, is important. We've got people telling the stories. It's just making sure that the rest of this system starts to decide, let's give them equitable treatment in these spots. Let's start to lift some of these stories up where even more eyes can see them because there have been people doing the work, and that's what Draymond's comments seem to ignore in this.
Yeah, and equitable treatment to get to that point means amplification. And a lot of people think, oh, go and do this, and this is y'all's like goal here. No, it's our goal because it's like Maria said, that patriarchal system that holds our voices or suppresses our voices. So whether big or small, big, go to brands and companies and having people that are teammates in the room saying this is what needs to be done because representation matters in telling these stories. Or even small within our, you know, friends and family, making sure that we retweet a story of a women's athlete just because we know that that retweet comes with more promise for the game just by changing that visibility. The inch goes a mile when we're trying to, you know, mend this divide in which we finally are at the same point where we don't have to have these conversations. We don't have people using the familiar tropes of like, oh, snap, you know, y'all don't make enough money. You complain about that. Nah, that's not it. We're not on that. That's like the old school. Like we're on to something new. And if you question that, I can give you the CBA. We just renegotiated that a year ago. And our energy is different. The brands are coming. We just need a little bit of help if we can get it. But at the end of the day, that was not it. Even though the heart was in the right place.
And you could see that it's just, it's one of those spots where I said, Draymond needs to like run this by someone. I said, you should
yes.
every person should have someone that before they're getting ready to tweet out something substantial like this, they should run it by and say, hey, am I missing anything in this spot right
and
now?
He has the people. He has us. Like, you got me, like, Draymond. And he even texted Skylar, my sister, and everybody was like, yo, bro, we can do this behind the scenes. Like, but it's all right. Guess what? I like it because now a lot of people are getting educated and maybe they'll take that to action.
That is true. In a roundabout way in all of this, even though we believe Draymond got this wrong in the way that he presented this, it did reignite a lot of conversation around this. It did give a lot of people like yourself, a lot of people like Maria Taylor, a chance to bring up, amplify a message that's very important to this conversation going better.
Are you trying to get me tired on a Monday?
I text Chinee and all I got back was, bruh. Like, the international sign for I am too tired for all of this right now. That is One and Done and is brought to you by 303 Products. Premium protectants and cleaners keep your car looking like new longer. We will get away from that and we will have a little more fun because coming up next, we did have great Yay. NCAA action in both tournaments over the weekend. And we're going to celebrate them. We're going to give you the best things we saw, the top five from the
Let's
NCAA
go.
Tournaments coming up next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN
yeah.
Plus.
Today and Golic Jr., the podcast.
17 games now. The NFL can't help themselves. The beat marches on. We know there's going to come more money with this, but we know, and Chinee would certainly know because she has never mixed up a lyric at all, that with that comes more problems. Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinee Agwumike. We'll get to what's going on with the NFL's expansion of the regular season coming up in just a little bit here. But Chinee, we are marching along in March Madness. The men's and women's tournaments continue tonight as we've gotten down to the Elite Eight. We have seen some pretty compelling action getting us to where we are now. And so we want to give you the best of what we saw. We want to give you our top five things from the NCAA tournament this past
yes.
weekend. Cliff, do we have the music? Oh, yeah.
You remember what the song is now, Junior?
Basketball is my favorite,
sport. Yeah, okay. Keep going.
I'm a quick learn.
Okay, good. Very well done.
I'm a
one
quick
week turnaround.
Learn on this
so
spot.
Am I. Yeah, so am I.
Yes, exactly. Like I said, we are both very good at making sure we understand, know, and live these lyrics. Now, Chinee, coming up this weekend, let's start with number five, Cliff.
Number five.
We have celebrated a lot of different facial hairstyles. We had a Krutwig moment last week from Loyola Chicago and his mighty mustache. But we got to give a little love to the guy still dancing, Matthew Mayer, the 6'9 guard and forward for the Baylor Bears on the men's side, who is still dancing with a luscious, luscious mullet. I looked up this weekend and couldn't believe that somehow in the fray we had lost this along the way. So I want to lift it up, shine a light on, and make sure we're all giving these follicles the love they deserve.
Let's just say for hair, he's had his one shining moment. Number four!
Number four.
Ladies and gentlemen, I love how sometimes men, you know, y'all just have problems. Y'all can't get it together. The women are holding it down, and I'm talking about the University of Texas Longhorns. The women are back. Texas is back. You got the sound?
Texas is back, folks.
Take a cue from the women, especially Coach Schaefer. By the way, he coached my little sisters in AAU. A great guy. But the Texas Longhorns got a big win in the NCAA tournament on the women's side. They held, I believe, the like most high-scoring women's team in Maryland to 61 points. And, of course, Charlie Collier is the number one prospect in the WNBA to emerge. And she's just a beast, a double-double machine. And so for them to be back and it to be the women that bring them back, I think, you know, basketball sports are better when Texas is better. And I love that the women are leading the way here.
I was going to say, a big brand matchup between the Maryland women and Texas on that side. Texas goes on with the dub right there. And so, yeah, if you can't get your kicks from the football team, the men's team can take a look at what's going on over on the women's side here because
Texas is back, folks.
And speaking of the women, number three.
Number three.
So the biggest matchup of March Madness was clearly UConn versus Iowa, Paige Beckers versus Caitlin Clark. But the biggest winner of that matchup was Kristen Williams, and not just for what she did on the court, but starting with that. All right, she had 27 points as they took on Iowa, and she had, like, what, 18 in the first half. She balled all the way out. But most importantly, this is a TikTok star, ladies and gentlemen. I know you saw her TikTok as my friend retweeted it on social media, but I just love how she's able to show her personality. UConn has been one of those teams where normally, like, they have this no social media rule. She has set the standard that you should absolutely let their players keep going with her rendition of Revelation. But yeah, big win for the UConn women. They've got a big one up ahead against Baylor next. Probably will be another big game of the week. But Kristen Williams won the day.
That game coming up later tonight on ESPN. And yeah, shout out, speaking of women telling the stories going on right now, thank you to our friend Kayla Johnson
yes.
for putting me on game with all this one. For the tournament that started with Sedona Prince's TikTok of the circumstances there, we're now getting to the real content goods that some of these athletes have brought up.
Let's and guess what? The goods were delivered. Go watch her TikTok.
Number two.
Delivered fully and truly.
With a T.
But how about this, Janae? Number two, I'd say going home was a big winner this weekend. Getting to see the moment for Juwan Howard moving on. Michigan beats Florida State in the men's tournament. And Juwan Howard coaching at his alma mater, a place where people were concerned because they didn't think he had enough college coaching experience, now has his team on the cusp of a return to the Final Four. You had that coupled with Mike Woodson being hired by IU to coach the men teams there, the former Nets assistant now heading over there and getting to help out with a program very near and dear to him as an alum of that, as someone who played basketball at IU.
Yep. For Bob Knight, the last team to be undefeated and win the NCAA tournament, Gonzaga trying to do the same thing. I love that full circle moment.
Absolutely. And shout out to Penny Hardaway. Going back to Memphis, they take the NIT champs and go there. So we've got a lot of folks that went back home and got it done. And Janae, you know this. We both proudly rep our alma maters. I don't know if there is anything more satisfying than going back and getting to be part of the resurgence for your respective school.
Also, speaking of alma maters, my little sister's alma mater, Rice Women's Basketball, won the NIT on the women's side. So it's a big, like, winners everywhere today.
Everybody all around going home. Who says that you can't? Let's get to number one, Cliff.
Number one.
Number one. Janae, I'm going to let you have the victory lap right here because
Let's
whether
go.
It is on the men's side or the women's side, the pack is back. And in the men's tournament alone, I'll say this. You had five Pac-12 tournaments make the tournament. You now have three still standing in the Elite Eight.
I had the lucky privilege of speaking with Coach Steve Kerr of the Golden State Warriors earlier today in honor of Women's Month and Women's History Month. And this is largely because of my time in the Bay when I was at Stanford. And even on his time where he's talking about preparing for a game against the Chicago Bulls, guess what? He's talking about the women, Arizona. Arizona has the Pac-12 Player of the Year in Ari. And then they also have one of the coaches that are the best in the conference outside of my coach, Tara Vanderveer. And then on the men's side, them holding it down with three Pac-12 teams in the Elite Eight. I mean, finally, no one's sleeping on the pack. It only took, like, till 2021. But it's all good. It's all good.
You know what? The best solution seemed to be just continue to win when no one else believed in that spot. Pac-12 After Dark is now living fully in the light on this one.
I see what you did.
There's our top five from the NCAA tournament. You know we got to get to some loser stuff later on, so don't worry. We'll have you covered on some of the lowlights from the tournament this weekend in just a little bit. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. But coming up next, the NFL players have voiced their displeasure. How should they feel about the addition of the 17th game to the regular season starting this year? We'll get to that after this word from Indeed.
Junior, you know I'm a connoisseur of a lot, right? And so are you, okay? But to be a connoisseur of case management or guru of global sales, you will need Indeed. Whoever you're looking to hire, you can find them at Indeed. Sponsor a job post and Indeed's instant match searches through millions of resumes in their database and immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resume fits your job description. You can add an Indeed skills test so candidates can show you their skills that go beyond the resume as well. No wonder Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all of the other job sites combined together. Juntos. It's crazy, according to Talent Nest. Visit Indeed.com/credit for more. Now, how should players feel about one more game? How should players feel about the NFL expanding to 17-game regular season? It's official, and I'm tired just thinking about it. We will recover and get to that right after this on Shanae and Golub Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live, as Jr. says. Come look at us on ESPN+.
Shanae and Golub Jr., the podcast.
Shanae and Golub Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Watch us on ESPN+. Mike Golub Jr., Shanae Agumake. Shanae, one of the darkest days of, I think, every round of fall training camp I ever went through, and I'm sure you could speak to this, going through training camp sucks. There's no two ways about it. Like, you just get to that point in the middle where you're looking for any light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not there. And there's always a spot where you either know, all right, if things are going well and we have been doing what we've been supposed to be doing around here, we got a break coming. The coaches are going to throw us a bone somewhere on this spot. Or if it's gone the other way, you're waiting for that dreaded whistle blow, restart the entire practice, and go back at it right now. There is no more haunting feeling in the world than start it all over. We're going back to the top.
Man, that's when I'll start saying, ooh, my toe. back. My knee. Help. Actually, that's when vets start pulling out their real vet moves.
That's when you really got to flex on them. Shanae, that's what I feel like the entire NFL just got delivered with this notice that they were adding a 17th game to the regular season, right? Because they're looking around right now saying, all right, man, we know the salary cap was going down this year. We understand that's part of COVID. It sucks because there's going to be a generation and a team and a group of guys that don't get the payday that they would have had coming because of the pandemic. But I'm sure a lot of guys are looking on the other side of this. Saying, I bet, yeah, I was going to say, this is kind of like the stimmy. Didn't get the stimmy, but guess what? It's coming around next time. Next year, the cap is going to be big and luxurious. We just signed this TV deal and all this. And then you get the news about the 17th game today. And I feel like some guys, we've seen it already, Alvin Kamara and some other players, sound exhausted already talking about
this. Yeah, especially the running backs or maybe the linemen. Not like, and we used to joke about this all the time, not like the cute positions, right, that can go out there and run around.
Is that what you guys used to call them?
Yeah, I call them the cute, but I'm a woman talking sports, so like they're the cute positions. You know what I mean? Like the ones that sort of get to go out there and, you know, play with their swagger. Junior, like, were you thinking about your swagger when you were in the trenches?
No. I can assure you, I was thinking, do I look really fat or just a little fat in our road white uniforms in this spot? And how am I going to breathe enough to get back to the line of scrimmage? But you are right, Shanae. Not everyone's created the same in all of this one. Like Dan Orlovsky, our friend and former NFL quarterback. Training camp for Dan and a 17-week season for Dan are going to look a lot different than they would for Marcus Spears, or they would look for Jeff Saturday in these spots,
so
who actually have to go out there and hit people and don't get a fun red jersey to wear.
Yeah, or you in that spot as a former offensive lineman. But, you know, that's the realities of the business. Like, you win some, you lose some. And when I thought, of, you know, when the news came out again that, like, all right, 17-game season, it's official – I do think that a lot of what we discovered over this past 2020 season to 2021, some of those things will carry over that hopefully will help the players. For instance, are we over-practicing? Before, it's like, well, you know, we just practice every day before game day and all that type of stuff. We've always said the most important thing is availability and health and also just being fresh in the playoffs and not feeling that mental taxation that players tend to have when you're just going season after season and grind after grind. This offseason, and then, you know, even this regular season of the 2020 season, we saw that maybe practices aren't as necessary in every instance, in every place, doing things virtually. Maybe those things will hopefully carry over so that it will alleviate some of the pressures of adding a game.
Shanae and Golub Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Considering what's necessary is an interesting part of this prospect, because Field Yates, our ESPN NFL insider, spelled it out pretty plainly. This is exactly why this happened, and this is exactly what's going to happen because of this.
Let's not kid ourselves. We know what the upside of this is. This means an extra week of revenue, both in terms of television and eventually tickets and everything else that comes with more football being played. The NFL wants to continue to not just grow its business, but remain the dominant sport in the United States for a long, long time. A 17th game gets you there. Now, Are players thrilled about it? The idea that you're going to have an extra week of work, they want to be compensated appropriately. I think that's going to be one of those moving target conversations that we continue to discuss more and more, is how are the players adequately compensated for their additional week of work?
Now, Janae, you're someone that was a part of a CBA negotiation in the WNBA and one that was instrumental in getting your league to the place that it's in currently right now. A lot of players are looking at this and saying, this is exactly why I didn't vote yes on the CBA. This is exactly what I was afraid of in this spot. How difficult is that to look as someone who's in the leadership position, who's part of the executive committee, to look at the players in your league and say, yeah, we understood this was coming, but look at the benefits in these other spots?
Okay, I don't want to like just keep leaning into it, but it is Women's History Month, and women at times do it better, right? Like when it comes to negotiations, a lot of times I think sometimes the lens is on the top player and it's hard to to divvy that out over the entire league. And especially a league, we're only 144 women. When you're talking about personnel in the NBA, personnel in the NFL, it's so much harder to sort of be on the same page with each and everything. And I think this is one of those things that slips through the cracks, especially if you're a top player and you're going out there, and this is how we'd approach it in, you know, negotiations, you probably have incentive to take on that extra game. Now, I know we've seen a number of key players speak out against it, but like, you know, you're going home to millions of dollars, you know, hopefully more guaranteed money with these deals and the TV revenue that comes with these additional games. You know that, hey, if something goes wrong with this extra added risk, I'm going to be all right. How about the rest of the fold? And I think that's why that was such a contentious issue, because some of these players are not speaking for themselves. They're speaking for others who are, maybe this is their one, you know, one season that they need to make a big splash and try to get that money. But what one game is a huge risk where you haven't earned that, you know? So these are all the things that go into deliberation. And we were fortunate on our, you know, executive committee to have Sue Bird, a legend, Elena Deladon, an MVP, my sister, an MVP, myself, who has multiple roles outside of sports and also gets a pulse on what other leagues are doing by saying, hey, guess what? We talked about the NFL and their CBA today. This is what they're talking about. We throw that in the group chat. Leija Clarendon, who's on the forefront of activism. So many players. We had a woman that whose family's on Capitol Hill. We felt like everyone was represented, and that's why when decisions are made, there's not much pushback, or there's some, but like we sort of understand where everyone else is coming from. It's so much harder to do that with a larger league when the stakes are so much higher, you know, with revenue and also knowing that, you know, each decision affects each player differently. So I'm not surprised. Like, I see all this stuff, I'm like, man, that really stinks. But at the same time, their game is in a great place, even though it is tough to add that one extra point.
It is interesting to consider, Chinee, because the threat of physical violence isn't legislated the same across the board in football. And basketball, for the most part, you guys are negotiating with health and safety, but it's certainly not a collision sport. It's a contact sport, but it's not the violent collisions. And it's relatively similar throughout the five players that are on the court for each team. In the NFL, you've got a spot where one extra game, if you are a star quarterback, might be seen as one extra shot for a season-ending injury or a career-threatening injury when you've acquired that kind of massive payday. If you are someone like me who is coming in as an undrafted free agent who's trying to hang around in here and get as much as you can, that extra game and the bump in the average salary for players playing on those league minimum deals could be seen as another opportunity for me to go out and do something that gives me a job for a little while longer. And that disparity of viewpoints, just like you pointed out, is always going to make these conversations really hard for NFL players in this spot. At Chinee, at Mike Golic Jr., do fans even care? Like, I imagine this is something where fans are just happy to get the 17th game and go right along living, because it's better for everyone viewing in all of this, maybe if it's not always the best.
Does this mean load management is coming to the NFL? Chaos!
My column coming up very soon. But coming up next, one team is going to have a lot of time for load management coming up, and one of our colleagues is not happy about it. We'll get to that next. Chinee Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN+.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinee Igwumike. And we saw what's unfortunately become an all too familiar refrain. The U.S. men's soccer team has failed to qualify for the Olympics coming up in Japan. This is something, Chinee, that we have seen sadly, whether it's the World Cup or the Olympics, for the men's side of the U.S. national team situation. And we have a colleague here in Taylor Twellman, who was a former part of the men's national team here, who was a great American soccer player. a little bit upset about all of this one. So let's let Taylor get some things off his chest before you and I get to react to this and coming in hot.
Your team got you down.
It's another big fan. It's very frustrating.
We got you. Because now is your time.
It is an absolute abomination.
Coming in hot with Jhené and Golic Jr.
So here is our ESPN soccer analyst, Taylor Twellman, who you can also see co-hosting Sports Nation on ESPN+. This was Taylor on Outside the Lines talking about the failures of the U.S. men's national team program.
Another big moment for the United States Soccer Federation on the men's side, and another moment to question whether or not they know what they're doing. The United States men's Olympic team has failed to qualify four of the last five Olympics. That is pathetic, to say the least. And I get it, you were missing your best players because of FIFA rules, and some of the players weren't in season, but all of that noise, that's just excuses. The roster of players that were in Mexico should have qualified. It's simple as that. But to everyone saying to me that the Olympics aren't that important for the men, are you sure about that? Because the last time I checked, the 2016 gold medal game was Brazil versus Germany. Odd how those two countries know how to win, isn't it? Do you know why they know how to win? Because they play in every single tournament that they can play in. And it's something you learn. And you can't learn when you don't qualify. The fact that there are excuses for a team trying to qualify out of CONCACAF is laughable to me. Especially one that has every resource at their disposal. So I'll continue the conversation about developmental players and the growth of the American player in Europe. I get it. It's very important, especially for the men's full team to reach the highest level. But I've got one question for U.S. soccer. What does the scoreboard say? Do you know what it says? You've missed the last World Cup and three Olympics on the men's side. So until the scoreboard changes, the narrative continues. Despite all the talk, the United States men can't do it when it counts.
Coming in hot is brought to you by Fidelity Investments. We're Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, where guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Jhené, I think in addition to Taylor's frustrations with what's going on competitively with the lost opportunity there, I continue to look at this and say you're missing out on the biggest events in the world, in the Olympics and the World Cup. Chances for marketing, chances for people to get to know the players involved on the men's side, because we don't know them. Outside of Christian Pulisic, who plays for Chelsea in a team I follow, I couldn't tell you any of the guys on that squad in the way that we could rattle off about the women's team, who is successful in all of these major marquee events.
And I think that's what highlights the discrepancy of what we experience in women's sports, just because we know the women are the best and the best, and thank goodness that the U.S. women's national team has literally stolen the mic and backed it up by delivering not only at the Olympics but also with the World Cup. Like, they've been the best and they've stolen the mic and then created their own platform. But now his point is highlighting that you have all the resources available. We have people that want them to be successful. Why are we falling short? And it was sort of jarring to hear that the U.S. can't get it done, because our mindset as a country is that we can get whatever we set our minds to done, which is why we were so baffled by all of this. And so, yeah, I mean, look, he was very, very contained and cordial. And I thought the argument about, like, well, the Olympics doesn't really matter, all we care about is the cup, but those are stepping stones, which is wild to say that the Olympics are stepping stones, but those are stepping stones to doing what you need to do on the grandest of stages when it comes to the sport. And so he makes all valid points. And I think it's just one of those things where, you know, it's the problem as a women's basketball player that plays overseas often. I played in Italy. I played in China. My sister has played in Poland and China and in Russia for like 5-6 years. You see the prioritization of the games in different places and the energy. Like, we are sitting on hidden potential. And it just is tough when you see that all sort of going to waste.
It does, but I think that's the point in all of this, Jhené, is sometimes we've seen, and we talked about this not too long ago on this show with the WNBA, with the NCAA Women's Tournament, saying, man, if you could just get more consistent placements on some of these big platforms, people would see what's already there, a great product that we know and get to see all of the time. In this instance, is
the product.
Well, the product is the problem. And that's the biggest difficulty in all this, is you've got access to all of these big stages. You've got every look that you could possibly want to get exposure for this particular program. And yet, because of the product, now you're punting on it time and time again.
Yeah, I've heard some stories. Your girl all the way from Nigeria. I've heard it overseas about how a lot of countries do more with less, right? Like, we have more and we expect more. And that's what makes this more baffling.
This does. And I promise you, it's only going to make it more frustrating because now you'll get even more of those. Imagine if we took all of the best athletes in our country and had them playing soccer like everyone else. The argument that I know makes so many players skin crawl who are a part of these soccer programs. With results like this, I'd have a feeling you're only going to get more
and
more of
those. Your girl wasn't
built
for it. I would only be goalie, probably. I couldn't do all that running.
Yeah, no. That is a hard pass for your boy right here. My level of conditioning is suited to long walks through the neighborhoods around here in Connecticut and not any sort of sprinting on a large athletic field of play like that. Now, coming up next, we did have moves made in the NBA, though the trade deadline wasn't necessarily full of fireworks. The buyout market has led us to an interesting question about impact that we'll answer next on Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chenea and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.